This weekend we encounter a parable that I think is challenging for all of us. Of all the parables that Jesus puts in front of us, I think this one is one that we are not quite comfortable with. And so we hear the story that Jesus tells of a landowner that goes out and invites laborers to work. And he does that several times in the course of the day, he invites all of them. Every time he comes, he invites more people to work in his vineyard. And at the end of the day, he pays them all the same thing. And we hear the frustration and the anger of those that worked from the early morning. We worked all day in the heat, and yet you're giving us the same thing that those that just came and worked for 1 hour. And the landowner's response is a response that we can't really argue with, because he says, "Friend, did I lie to you? Have I done anything that was unfair?" He gives them exactly what he said he was going to give them. He has not acted in a way that was unjust in terms of taking away from them what it is that he said that he would owe. And yet, there's a part of us, not just a part of us, I think most of us, that would sit there and go, "That's not fair." Because the people that began at the beginning worked far harder and they got the same thing as those that came at the end of the day. And so I think there's a part of us that struggles with this parable and trying to understand what this means in terms of our relationship with Jesus, and also wrestling with the idea of fairness in our relationship with God. And there is an element in this experience that I think we have to confront, that the Lord is saying to us that this is, you know, his relationship with humanity is not really about fairness. And I think that's what we need to sit with a little bit as we encounter Jesus' teaching today. I think most of us look at our relationship with God in one way or another as a transaction. That most of us have the experience of prayer that if I give this, then I should receive this. And we see that in a way of the times that we've been unfaithful, but we also see that as something that we're called to enter in more deeply, and if I give more deeply to something, then God will be more faithful to me. I think that's true simply because that's how we see most of our relationships in life. That it's a matter of transaction. That the more we give to another, the more that they will give to us. And we often translate that into the relationship that we have with our God. That if we're more faithful, God will be faithful to us. That if we're more humble before him, that God will pour out more blessing upon us. And I guess what I want to say is that I think the reason that Jesus brings this parable for us is to blow that up completely. God doesn't owe us anything. And the notion of transaction in relationship to salvation completely misunderstands our relationship with God. God has given us everything. He doesn't give that to us because we've earned it. He doesn't give that to us because we've found a way to live a life that somehow plays that out in a manner that he will recognize that, bless us, and pull us more deeply into the mystery of his love for us. God's gift is a gift that's given to all of us, regardless of what it is that we have done. We don't earn it. We don't achieve it. It's gift. It's gift no matter what we do, no matter what we're about. We can see that sometimes in our experience of religious life in terms of doing everything that we can in a manner that looks to, okay, the more and more that we do that, the more and more that God will be open to us. We can see that negatively as well, that there's no way we're going to go about doing that. And so why even try? And we move into an experience of despair in our relationship with God. I think what Jesus is telling us ultimately is that God's grace and mercy is poured out upon all of us. That grace and mercy is something that he desires for all of us. And that the task of the Christian life is not really about earning. It's not about what we achieve. It's about simply accepting the gracious gift that God has given to us. And if we can accept it as gift, then we really do not care if somebody comes after us and works less and gets the same amount. The experience of salvation is not a task, and it's not something we accomplish. It's not a competition. It's not something that we somehow earn in a way that puts us above others. Heaven does not have a lot of just different points that we earn. Ultimately, the call to heaven is simply a call to friendship with God. And there's not more or less in that. There's just being with God. Whether we've been a friend with him on this earth for a long time, or whether we discover that in the end, all that there is being present with God and recognizing the goodness of God, who loves us, calls us, embraces us, holds us, all of us. Not some of us more, not some of us less, but all of us together in the generosity that God has for all of his people and all of his creation. A relationship with Jesus is not something that puts us in a place where, like the disciples did before, in which they argued about who was most important. There's no one that's most important with God. God loves each one of you as if you're the only one. The only one. God loves me as if I'm the only one. In the course of my ministry, I've actually interacted with a number of mothers, of all people, who have struggled as they've had their second child. And they've struggled because they've wondered in their heart, with all the love that they had for their first child, whether they could ever love somebody as much as they love their first. That's just something I've heard from multiple women. But the truth of the matter is there's no limit to love. Love isn't a commodity that we can only give so much to one thing and so much to another. love is expansive. It embraces us. It calls us. And it leads us ever more and more to embrace more and more in our lives. God's love isn't limited. And so whether he calls us at the first hour or the last hour, that love is simply as potent in both places. That love embraces us no matter what it is that we do, no matter how it is that we finally find our way back to him. God's love simply embraces us. Don't get me wrong. We certainly have to be present. We have to desire. We have to cooperate. But the love of God embraces us no matter what. And it's that simple recognition of that love in our day-to-day lives that perhaps allows us, unlike our parable, to rejoice in the person that comes at the last hour, to rejoice in what it is that another does and how it is that they find Christ Jesus, to rejoice no matter how long we have been laboring, to recognize the simple and even short labor of the person that's in front of us. Amen.